So why not wear your hair like a lady? Well, what's hair like a woman? I don't know. The long blonde hair that God said the hybrids were going to have, hair like a woman and teeth like a lion? Why is that so difficult for people? I don't. And by the way, here's another thing. Why is it so difficult for women today to put a dress on and a skirt on and dress modestly in a nice dress or skirt? Why is that such a problem? Why is that so hated today? Let's see. Really? Well, I'm trying to find something tasteful. That's hard to do when you're trying to... That's gross. Anyway. Oh, there's nothing tasteful about it, is there? Anyway. Why is it that when transgenders want to look like a woman?
Did you know that Black Lives Matter?
They wear their hair long.
That was founded by a bunch of fat black lesbians who hate God, who hate the family.
All right, let me reset that. Sorry. Sorry about that. We'll play that later for fun, won't we? Why is it that transgenders, when they want to look like a woman, transgender men, why do they wear long flowing dresses and skirts? But Christian women fight that and make excuses. Why? Why do they do that? Why do Christian women say, I can wear pants if I want to? Yeah. And that guy can wear a skirt if he wants to. And that guy can wear a dress if he wants to. You both are making the same argument. But wouldn't you think, in order to fight the transgender ideology, number one, to be right with God, number two, to fight the transgender ideology, and to stick by biblical principles of male and female strictly, that you would make it known that you will dress like a female? That you will dress feminine? That you will avoid everything that looks masculine as a woman, and you will dress feminine? You will wear a skirt, you will wear a dress, you will walk and talk in a feminine manner. I don't get it. And why are people, by the way, let me say something. I've been preaching against cross-dressing before it was cool. Before everybody got angry with the transgenders, I was preaching against women wearing men's clothing. Because the King James Bible hasn't changed. As the society has dipped worse into depravity and wickedness and vileness and sinfulness. As they have. Right? As they have. Then so goes a society. But I got to be honest with you, Christian women haven't helped a lot that have not held the standards of biblical modesty. They haven't helped at all. They honestly haven't. They've actually done a worse job. Because I got a question for you. Let's just say Christian mom who wears britches, butched out hair. What happens when your son comes home from being in the world and your son's wearing a dress or a skirt and is acting like a man or acting like a woman? What argument do you have that they're wrong? What argument are you going to make? Number one, from your appearance, what argument are you going to make? That's a good question, isn't it? Christian mom, if your kid comes home like that, what argument would you have to make? Because people tell me, well, I don't want to be that radical. Wait, really? Is it really that radical for ladies to be ladies and men to be men? Is that really that radical? Is it really that radical? Is it really that radical for my wife to look different than her husband, the way God made her? Is that really radical? Is it radical for a man to dress like a man and a woman to dress like a woman and to actually recognize the difference in them? I just don't know what these people are fighting for when they fight those standards. I just look around and I say, man, finally, society has gotten so bad that the only people that can be consistent are those that have preached the gender roles and those that have preached clothing for a man and clothing for a woman, feminine and masculine, the differences. They're the only ones that are going to be actually normal. Everybody else, they're going to be the kooks and the freaks. Honestly, that's the way I thank God. Because I remember sitting with Lee and Carrie when they Carrie when she was first saved, and Lee and Carrie, and then they first came to our church, and she had never heard any preaching like that. She had gotten saved, and I sat there, I taught them why. Why women are to wear this clothing, and why men wear that clothing, and what the difference is in the clothing. And man, I'll tell you what, that impacted them, because most men won't have that conversation. Most pastors won't have that. And they don't teach on modesty either. They don't teach it. They just have a standard in their church. Well, your skirt has to be 2 inches below the knee if you're going to work or serve in the Lord in the ministry. What about if you're going to live for God? How about if you're going to live for God? How about if you're going to live for God, you're going to look like a lady? And how about if you're going to live for God as a man, you're going to look like a man? How about it? How about the standard is you want to obey the scriptures and fight the transgender ideology from a biblical perspective. Right? From a biblical perspective. Say, Pastor, that's too old-fashioned. Well, it may be, but is it right? The question is it right? Because how does a woman get mad that runs around in britches? How does she get mad at the dude that wears a dress? I don't get it. You're wearing his clothes. Why are you mad? Because he's wearing yours. See, it's all designed for a unisex, non-binary society. Baphomet. Merged into one. No rules. It's designed to wear out the saints of the Most High. Daniel 7:25, it's the spirit of Antichrist. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of times. And it's people get angry about it. They get angry at me for talking about it. But I'm trying to tell you that whether you hate my guts or not, I have been consistent with this issue all the way through. I have been consistent. Concerning that issue. And God's people need to make the differences. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination of the Lord thy God. That's an abomination. He said, all that do so are an abomination. Are abomination of the Lord thy God. The people are the abomination that do that. Wow. Am I being a walking abomination? Lady, that's the question you have to ask. Man, that's the question you have to ask. We know the transgender is openly doing that. We also know that the Christian woman that is not dressing appropriately and is dressing like her husband, you know, you realize that they've had that saying for years about wearing the pants in the family. Oh, she wears the pants in the family. What does that imply? Men wear pants? That's it. That's a societal thing. And you'll get, and I have heard women use every single excuse. Michelle said, people argue with me that it's law and it isn't for us. How do you answer that? Here's how I answer that. You ready? The nature of a woman and the nature of a man has not changed. Men are still to be men. Women are still to be women. Women are still to dress like women, and men are still to dress like men. What I would tell them is if they say that's the law, then they believe that then that woman believes that her husband can go into her closet and find the finest dress that he can and put it on, put some lipstick on, put some makeup on, and walk around in his wife's underwear. Do they believe that? It's nonsense and they know it. They hold those britches up like it's idolatry. They worship those clothes. They want to be like men. They will not submit and surrender to that. That's all that it is. Because it is a picture of submission. To look like a lady is a picture of submission. And they don't like it. Right? They don't like it. They get angry. Well, how angry would they be if their husband went into their closet and grabbed their nicest dress on and put their wedding dress on? Tell them next time, why don't you have your husband walk out in your wedding dress? Why don't your husband put on your wedding dress and walk around? Do you want him going to town in your wedding dress? Well, he shouldn't want you going to town in your britches. In a man's britches. Because that's what they are. See, a lot of pastors don't talk about this. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why right now. Number one, they are scared to death of their wives. That's the first thing. Scared to death of their feminist wives. They are petrified and terrified of those standards for their wives. Scared to death their wife is going to leave them, get angry with them, rebel against them, all of it. They're scared to death of it. So they butch off their hair, they wear those britches, they wear those yoga pants. Because they are scared of their wives. The second reason, they are scared of their congregation. They're scared of their church. They're scared of the women of their church getting angry at them. And leaving and quitting. And walking away. They are very afraid of it. And I get, no, let me tell you. It's easy to say that. But I'm going to tell you, you haven't been a man that has to stand up in front of a bunch of women and preach on those things. It isn't easy. I'm telling you, it's not easy. It is a very difficult thing for men to stand up and preach to women and men and teach them on modesty. It is difficult. It's not as easy as you might think. That's why men don't do it. You've never been in that position before. I can tell you, you've never been in a position before to look at women that are angry at you because you're telling them something. And the trouble it can cause and the discord that it can cause and the trouble that those men can deal with. It's a lot more intimidating than you might think. It is. It is. Right? It's more intimidating than you might think. They also see the danger in burning the house down around them. They see the danger in the whole thing falling apart. There's a lot to it. You know, there's a lot to it. You know, there, but Old Paths Baptist Church, I started out that way. And we got to start our church by the grace of God. We got sent out to start the church. So we got to start the church and train people up from the ground floor of these issues. I started right out the gate on a number of these issues. It's different when you take over a church, when you pastor another church, when you deal with those, it's way different. And as I teach, and I've been able by the grace of God to train up, we are training up a generation of 40 to 50 children right now that are being raised right in it. And to deal with that, and then to start churches from those people, from those young people. And God will call some of these young men into the ministry, and some of these young men will pastor, and we will send them out, and they will. But they'll have a sure foundation. You see what I mean? It's a very difficult thing. And plus, a lot of those men were taught institutionally. You just teach. They've been taught, some fundamentalists have been taught, well, you just teach the standard about what your church has for a standard for workers. But they never teach why. They never teach in depth. They never teach on what modesty is and how it's not a uniform you put on church when you come Sunday. You put it on and then you take it off all week and you dress like a hussy all week. See, that's what's happened. That's what's happened. So that's why you have the situation you do there. It's why you deal with those things. So there's, in my opinion, there's non-binary transgender ideology in churches, in fundamental Baptist churches today, that if they're going to fight it, you better get that out first. Michelle, listen.
I don't want Cheetos. Oh, you brought me cough drops.
Thought you were bringing me Cheetos, boy. Michelle, listen. I was trained in fundamentalism. So I was taught to do the very thing your pastor, your former pastor, was doing. I was taught to do that too. Well, you just have a standard. In fact, I had a church planting ministry help us start our church. And here's what he said to me. He said, look, when you start your church, you need a really strong constitution. And that constitution needs to say that, you know, ladies will, when they serve, they'll wear skirts. And they'll be 2 inches below or whatever your standard is. The knee, 3 inches, whatever it is, or whatever the standard is, knee length, whatever the standard is, right? And then if a lady gets mad at you, then what you do is you just talk to her and you tell her, look, I can't do anything about it. This is in our constitution. I sat back and I thought about that, and I'm like, huh. And it didn't dawn on me till years later. And I'm like, huh. Well, you don't have to teach them the Word of God. You don't have to teach him the word of God then. You don't have to teach him to do right. Because you just blame it on your constitution. So then what? So you know what that produces? In the church house, they'll dress modestly or semi-modestly. Because you have a standard at the church house. But when they go home, they're going to dress any way they want to. Well, that's not what I want to teach my people. I don't want to teach them that you just wear a uniform when you come to Old Paths Baptist Church to the assembly, and then you dress any other way you want to out on the streets. Well, I'm teaching them to be fake. I'm not teaching them from the heart, from the word of God applied to their heart. I'm not teaching them modesty. So then I'm teaching them wrong. I'm not teaching them to walk with God. So then that's the problem. People need to be taught to walk with God. They need to be taught a simple principle. That should govern everything that they do. Do you like how this has turned into an absolute Bible study and practical application? I'm not really even dealing with that movement as much as I am the scriptures and explaining to you why we're where we're at today. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is the principle that you and I live by. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the principle is I present myself a living sacrifice. So whatever God's word says I'm supposed to live, however God's word says I'm supposed to live, I live by that. Then I'm not conformed by this world. I'm not conformed by this world. But transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's how I'm to live my life. That's how God expects me to live my life. Transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's how God wants his children to live. So, therefore, my clothing matters. What I wear, what I put on, how I dress. People don't want to talk about that. They want to point at that transgender dude wearing a dress and lipstick and makeup. And then that's an affront. And it is. But so is it for the Christian woman not to dress in modest apparel, shamefaced with sobriety. And to dress like a lady. Pastors won't preach on it because, number one, they haven't been trained to. They've been trained to preach a standard, not a matter of the heart. Yeah, you got to have standards. I have them. But you also have to teach modesty from the heart, what the Bible says. And we live in the day and age of apostasy. But this movement is not going anywhere. It's not going away. And churches have a lot of hypocrisy they're going to deal with. There's a war. It is an absolute war. But God's people need to be consistent with the way that they look at those things. Now we're going to look at some of these other videos. Then we're going to go back and forth to the scriptures. But you will see. You'll see the difference. First, it's an attack on children. And there's a reason, because they know that children are not developed. And because children are not developed, this is the attack.
Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie, and my pronouns are they, them.
And I'm Ray.
My pronouns are also they, them. And what are we celebrating this week, Ray?
It is Non-Binary Awareness Week.
And what does that mean?
Well, that means if you don't feel like a boy in your heart, or a girl in your heart, or if you feel like neither, or both, you are seen, you are loved, and you are supported no matter what.
That's right. We love you for who you are, no matter what you might look like on the outside.
We know who you are on the inside.
And to all of our friends who might not be non-binary, how can we help them support our non-binary friends?
Well, you can always make sure you're using the right pronouns because you want to respect your friends.
Well, what if somebody accidentally calls me the wrong pronoun and you're with me? What would you do?
Oh, I would simply say, oh, excuse me, I see that you said she, but Leslie goes by they. That simple.
That respectful.
That is love.
That is what being non-binary is about.
We love you.
We see you.
Mwah!
Oh my goodness. I cannot believe it. But anyway, so they take a child's puppet. Okay? And they're teaching little... This is for preschoolers. And little children. If someone said they, I would be like, well, how many people are with you? That's not even correct English. I go by they or them. Really? Because you're like legion, you are many or what? Is that why or what? Like, what does that mean? Me, it means the same as this. 2,000 years ago, my name is Legion, for we are many. Today, my preferred pronouns are they and we. There you go. That's what they're teaching. That's what they're teaching. They are possessed. They are definitely possessed people. And people play into their... You're expecting me to play into your insanity. Well, I'm not going to do it. Right? That's Michelle's favorite picture right there. Okay, so that's an example. Do you realize what they're doing to children? So careful if you let your children go to the library. Don't let them go by themselves. There might be ideology there that is wrong. Make sure you go with them. Here's another one.
Much power, and I love it. It's the perfect.
Watch what this guy says.
I've trained.
Watch what this guy says. He does summer camp. This guy does.
I've trained all the children at my summer camp to come to me whenever I play my recorder. A bunch of 5 to 11-year-olds are just following me wherever I go. I have so much power, and I love it. It's the perfect time to teach them about transgender.
I have so much power, and I love it. It's the perfect time to teach them about transgender.
I've trained all the children at my summer camp to come to me whenever I play my recorder. Bunch of 5 to 11-year-olds are just following me wherever I go. I have so much power, and I love it. It's the perfect time to teach them about transgender.
I have so much power, and I love it. It's the perfect time to teach them about transgender.
I've trained all...
Okay. Yeah. He's really not lying. He's dead serious. This is that argument. This is that attack that is not, it's not going away. The attack is not going away. You better parent your children. Now the new ad for makeup brand Maybelline. This is it right here.
Prime Day on Amazon, so why not see if Maybelline has any deals going on?
And look at that! Super Stay Vinyl Ink is 30% off, and my favorite colors are in stock and ready to ship. My Amazon order arrived the next day, and here I am, filming a makeup review. And baby, check out this color and shine! It's so comfortable, and it will not budge or smudge for up to 16 hours. Let me know what you think, and shop Maybelline Prime Deals for 30% off right now. Prime Day on
Okay. That's the confusion. That is what they want to do. You get it? These commercials, these companies, these merchants of the earth, they're all in on it. They're all in on Babylon. Like, it's not even a woman. Remember when you were a kid, maybe it's Maybelline? Remember that when you were a kid? Remember that? They had the girls on there, like, maybe it's Maybelline, and you had to worry about the seductive lady in makeup. You didn't want your kids to see, but, I mean, it was a woman. See? The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. See it? That's who they are. Confusion. Here's another one. Seattle middle schools are reportedly offering gender affirming care for free to students as young as 11. Seattle school will offer gender reaffirming care at no cost The services laid bare in documents obtained by parents defending education this week included hormone therapy for adolescents. Let's see if I There we go. Now we can read it. The service laid bare in documents obtained by parents defending education provided by medical provider country doctor, community health centers, PDE announced the arrangement Tuesday, signaling out two health centers offering the services, both of which are set in Seattle public schools. The centers are run by the same nonprofit provider whose mission is to promote health in transgender, non-binary, and gender-diverse communities. Schools in Seattle are offering free gender-affirming care to students as young as 11. Documents obtained this week reveal centers at Meany, what a good name! Isn't that a good name? Meany Middle School? That's a good name, isn't it? Meany Middle School. Mean people? Transitioning children. Meany Middle School and Nova High School are allowing students to conveniently seek the treatment on site and for free. Nova Wellness website does not specify what is meant by gender affirming care. The provider for the two centers, Country Doctor Community Health Centers, claims to offer hormone therapy and sex change surgeries for adolescents. Look. You should be in prison for chemically castrating a child. You should be. Chemically castrating children, giving them medicine to chemically castrate them, to permanently sterilize children. You know who Planned Parenthood did that to? Not Planned Parenthood, excuse me. The civil government did that to down south. They did it to little black girls down south. Back in like the 40s and 50s, I think. The eugenicists sterilized them. That's what they're doing. That's what they want to do now. They want to sterilize them. You get it? They are doing surgeries on children to sterilize them. These are the same experiments that Nazis ran on children. Who do you think we learned it from? We hired them. Operation Paperclip and others. We hired the Nazi scientists that were running experiments on children, and we brought them to America. Kinsey is a man that was a Crowleyite, and Kinsey was a man who did experiments on children. I'm not going to get into specifics. These people would make Hitler blush. Okay? Joseph Mengele would blush at what they're doing. This is the science behind it. They're talking children whose brains are not developed. And I'm going to show you that one. Whose brains are not developed. Hang on a second. Before I forget. Man, I wonder, let's see. Hold on a second. I want to find this. here. Okay. Hang on a second. I'm going somewhere with this. Just give me a second, okay? I want to find this article before I forget. No idea what that was. Nope. Before I forget. Carl, maybe Carl can do this. Carl, look up a video from Libs of TikTok. The video on Twitter, and send it to me in the link if you would, please. The video I'm looking for, Libs of TikTok. It's a video that talks about how movie stars are adopting children to transition them. All right, Do that, please. Look that up. It's right on Libs of TikTok. Okay, let me get back to the article I was looking at, wherever it is. Sorry, I just didn't want to forget that because I remembered that. And it's like, here's their satanic agenda being lived out. Nova Wellness website does not specify that the facility's self-professed mission, according to its website, it's to promote health in transgender, non-binary, and gender-diverse communities through ensuring equal access to gender-affirming medications and procedures. Erica Sanzi, PDE Director of Outreach, fumed about schools being involved in gender-affirming care for children. It's bad enough that medical professionals are prescribing cross-sex hormones and cutting off breasts and genitals of minors. It is a whole new level of awful and terrifying for schools to be involved. Schools are being involved. Schools in Seattle, such as one on the, are currently offering free gender-affirming care to students as young as 10. 10! That's at Meany Middle School. Meany Middle School. Makes sense, doesn't it? To accomplish this, medical provider country doctor installed school-based centers at Meany Middle School and Nova High School, allowing students to conveniently seek such services on site and for free. These people are evil. While puberty blockers are still barred for prepubescence, kids as young as 10 still have access to cross-sex hormones such as estrogen and testosterone. At two primary care clinics, the CDCHSC runs elsewhere in the city. Let me show you how much of a hypocrite these people are. Okay, you ready? Let me share with you how much of a hypocrite these people are. Okay. Did you know that selling drugs, selling pot or acid or any type of illegal drugs in a DARE district or a school district is double the fine, double the penalty, double the prison sentence? Do you know that? In a school zone. Do you know that? They're doing the exact same thing. They're selling these children and giving them access to drugs. Only these drugs are worse than smoking a joint. I'm against smoking a joint. But these drugs are worse than smoking a joint. They alter the reproductive functions of the child forever. They alter their brain forever. Oh, yeah. When you were dealing drugs, man, the last place you wanted to get caught driving down the road. If you had dope in your car driving down the road in a school zone, if you got pulled over twice or more. Now, I could be wrong about the twice. It could be two or three times. But I'm pretty sure it is double the fine. Double the sentence. It's like an automatic felony instead of like a gross misdemeanor. I believe it's an automatic felony. From what I remember when I was in that lifestyle. But these teachers, these doctors and these teachers, they're hawking drugs to kids. That's what they're doing. That's what they're giving children. And they're getting paid big money to do it. They want to pass laws. They want to pass laws. That if you don't pay for your children's genitals to be mutilated, if you don't pay for it, or if you don't call your children by certain pronouns, then we want to arrest you for it and charge you with child abuse. See other witches? They're the witches. They're the witches that are performing the mutilation and the abuse on children. If you don't go along with it and pay for it, we're going to put you in prison. You think this is new, don't you? It ain't new. See, the Pope did it a long time ago. The Pope did it to the Anabaptists. The Pope did it to the Waldensians. The Pope did it to the Donatists, to the Waldensians, to the Petrobrusians, to all of them. Came in there and stole their children. Not new. Lied about them. They lied about them. The Albigenses, these guys. Want to look at it? Hang on. Here you go. I'll put me in the wide shot. Hang on a second. See this? See these books? The history of the Albigenses and the Vaudois or the Waldenses. Right there. The popes falsely accused these people. Said they were eating their children in the middle of the night. They were having like seances and they were eating their children and abusing their children in the middle of the night so they could take their children away from them and abuse their children. Get it? Yeah. It's not new. Been going on. It's not a new thing, friend. Not a new thing at all. Very common thing. So the Nova Wellness Center offers all these things. We bill appropriate services to insurance if you have it, it adds, after confirming it's subsidiary to a country doctor. There are never any co-pays or co-insurance. We'll cut your genitals off, your children's genitals off for free. Would you like us to mutilate the genitals of your children? Well, we'll do it for free. What do you mean you don't have insurance? Oh, don't worry about that. We'll chop and whack anything off we want to. We'll mutilate their bodies and turn them into freaks of nature all day long. Not to fear. no cost to you at all. This is their staff right there. They include gender-affirming care is integrated into everyday primary care so that you can get your hormones in the same place you get your wellness exams, cancer screenings, and treatments for acute chronic health conditions. He goes on to outline the services offered exclusively to transgender, non-binary, and gender diversity patients. They include gender-affirming medications, estrogen, androgen blockers, testosterone, and injection teaching as needed, as well as hormone therapy for adolescents and specialty referrals for younger patients as needed. Also including the treatment or referrals for gender-affirming surgery such as vaginoplasty and chest reconstruction. Assistance obtaining mental health letters to support for gender-affirming procedures and referrals for internal or external behavioral health counseling. In other words, they'll hypnotize them. They'll talk them into it. Since the policy was unveiled Tuesday, parents such as Erica Sanzi pictured are already expressing their distaste. She labeled the previously unreported policy as a whole new level of awful after helping it uncover it Tuesday. Since the policy was unveiled Tuesday, parents are already expressing their distaste. Alex Nestor, an investigative fellow for PDE, said schools aren't parents and they aren't doctor's offices, she said in her own statement. It's still going. My Carl, still going. There's 18 people on there. 80 on here. We had almost 100 on there. We had 98 on here today. That's a blessing. Amen. Since the policy was unveiled Tuesday, parents such as Erica, so she has a problem. The combination of the district parental exclusion policies and its provisions of dubious medical interventions to change a child's sex creates a really troubling situation for Seattle families. You think? Dangerous stuff, friend. Now we're going to get to this guy.
To have a successful uterus transplant, the first trans woman to have a successful uterus transplant, ovaries and eggs included. And I want to be the first trans woman to have an abortion. I will let a doctor who has successfully transplanted a uterine complex before cut the organs out of a willing, healthy, transmasculine donor. Place them in my body. I will devote myself, heart and soul, to their aftercare. I will have as much gay sex as it takes with as many trans...
Oh.
And let the transphobes and homophobes scratch their heads, wondering...
Okay, so this man, sorry about that. I didn't listen to that part of the clip that he was going to say that about fornication. But basically, what he wants to do is he wants to have a uterus transplanted into him so he can have an abortion and kill a baby. That's right. That's right, Andrea. It would break his body. Because men aren't built like women. But But this is the sick, demented life that these people live. And see, you and I might think this is 1,000 miles away. You know what? It's not. And as men, when we go out on the streets and preach, we see it all the time. And as women, you're going to have to explain to your children when they see these people out, how they got there, why they're like that, and what God's word says about it. Don't think that your children are going to automatically understand this. Don't think that your children are going to automatically be able to process this and get it. This is devil possession. All they that hate me love death, said the Lord. Wisdom speaks of them. This is who they are. This is their ideology. It is satanic. That's what it is. They are insane, but it's worse than that. They're insane. They have devils. No one would want to cut a uterus out of somebody, place it in their body, to get impregnated, which, by the way, proves nothing. You need a male and you need a female, you fool. It proves nothing, but you're a murderous devil. Male and female. You need the seed of a man and the egg of a woman. Doesn't work any other way, genius. They just have to pervert God's way. It doesn't work any other way. I personally think it would kill him anyway. If it were possible, it would kill him. But this is the insanity of them. This is the demonic, the devilish demonic rage that they have in them. They hate God, hate his way. Hate him. Hate what the Bible stands for. They have no real understanding of anything, to be honest with you. God says that when you leave off his word, when you leave off his word and you go away from his word, you'll be turned into a beast. Listen to this.
You know, Jeffrey Marsh is a name that has probably come up in the Daily Cancellation before. He's a 45-year-old creep who's gained prominence in the groomer community through TikTok videos promoting transgenderism to kids. Now, according to the bio on his website, his videos have received over 1 billion views in total. He goes on to pad his stats in his bio by claiming to be, quote, the first non-binary public figure to appear on national television. Of course, non-binary simply means that he's a dude who wears eyeshadow and women's clothing. And if you believe that Jeffrey Marsh is the first guy to do that on TV, I would like to introduce you to something called the 1980s, where it was quite common. There's nothing bold or pioneering about cross-dressing. In fact, at this point, it's much more unique for a man to appear on television wearing men's clothing. If you really want to be a trendsetter, simply dare to be normal in this society. One other possible note of interest from Marsh's bio, it says, quote, Jeffrey has studied and taught Zarin the rank of butchering Buddhist teachings, but the LGBT cult totally defines itself by its desires. It teaches that life is best lived in pursuit of what you desire, no matter what your desires might be. This represents, if anything, a kind of anti-Buddhist philosophy. It's a non-binary Buddhist Zen cross-view by vile transphobes like yours truly, for example. Here it is.
Hi, kids. There's no such thing as a boy or a girl, and I can prove it. So gather around the family, the parents, everybody, answer my questions. You either say boys or girls. Who's usually taller? Oh, boys? Okay. But you've met some short boys, right? You've met some tall girls. So usually boys are taller, but not always. Okay. Who likes the color pink? Girls? Okay. But you've met girls who don't like pink. And you met boys who do like pink. So usually girls like pink, but not always. Everything you can think of that makes a boy or makes a girl is usually but not always. And some of them are not even usually. Where does that leave you? Free. You get to like what you like. You get to be who you are. Maybe you're even like me and you're not a boy or a girl.
Wow. Brilliant. I mean, the great thing about this argument is that I can use it to erase literally anything from existence. For example, most penguins are black and white, but some penguins are albino and have all white feathers. Therefore, penguins don't exist. The average length of a novel is 90,000 words, but some novels are well over 200,000 or even 500,000 words. Therefore, books don't exist. Here's an interesting one. The average IQ of a human being is between 85 and 115. The average IQ of a fruit bat is 2.3. Jeffrey Marsh's IQ is also 2.3. Therefore, human beings don't exist, or fruit bats don't exist, or Jeffrey Marsh is a fruit bat, or perhaps all these things are true. Indeed, we might as well say that fruit bats don't exist, and also Jeffrey Marsh is a fruit bat, considering that Jeffrey Marsh is claiming that boys and girls don't exist, while also claiming that a boy who identifies as a girl should be accepted and affirmed as one. He demands that we affirm someone's self-identity as something that, according to him, doesn't exist. This remains one of the many, many self-contradictions in gender ideology. It holds as sacrosanct an individual's identification with or in a particular sex category, while at the same time insisting that the sex categories are mythological. There are no girls, and also that person over there with a penis is one. You must accept him as something that is nothing, or else you have erased him, even though we're the ones who just erased the entire category that he is claiming membership in.
Right. So you see what they do? This is their ideology. It's witchcraft is what it is. It's witchcraft. Now, Matt Walsh won't say this because he doesn't have the answer. His logic is fine. There's nothing wrong with the logic he's making. The Bible is logical. He's making logical. He's making a logical argument, which is not wrong. But at the end of the day, it's the scriptures that are the authority, not logic. And all logic comes from the scriptures. The truth that he is speaking is it's truth. I mean, it's based on the Bible, what he's saying as far as male and female. But here's the thing that you have to understand. They try to erase, they're trying to say they are a girl, right? But there are no girls or boys, and you could be whatever you want to be. But there are no girls or boys. That's witchcraft.
There is no way to make sense of this hopeless tangle of contradictions. You can't understand it because it is not meant to be understood. Marsh justifies his erasure of boys and girls by pointing out that some girls are taller than some boys and some boys like the color pink. This is the level of intellectual rigor that we get from the left on this topic. You probably don't need me to explain why this reasoning is flawed, but I will anyway. We speak about height and color preference in terms of averages, okay? In particular, height anyway. We talk about averages especially. The existence of outliers within a category does not throw the existence of the entire category into question. On the contrary, you need the outliers in order to come up with the average. You cannot have an average without the outliers. That's the whole point of the average. But the fact that we can come up with averages within these categories and then compare the categories against each other is a pretty good indication that the categories exist. If we can say anything at all about a category, okay, if we can make any statements, if we can offer any descriptions of any kind, then that means the category exists. The very statement, "not all boys are tall," automatically validates and confirms the existence of boys as a category because you're talking about them. If they didn't exist, the statement would be meaningless. It doesn't make any sense to speak descriptively about a group of people who, according to you, are fictional. It would be like if you wanted to prove that leprechauns don't exist, and so you said, you know, not all leprechauns have red hair, some are blonde. Okay, so you're saying they do exist then. I mean, you're describing them. So what we've learned here is that even if you can only speak about a category in terms of rough averages, that doesn't mean the category is illegitimate or non-existent. But in the case of boys and girls, men and women, we can actually speak much more definitively. Marsh claims that there's nothing we can say about men or women that would apply to every member of that group. And that's what's known as begging the question, okay? Not to be confused with raising a question, even though the phrases are often used interchangeably. He is begging the question about sex differences by embedding his conclusion into the premise of his argument, begging the question. He proves, quote unquote, that men and women don't exist by pointing out that there are no definitive facts about them. But that argument could only even begin to work if we assume from the outset that it's true that there are no definitive facts about them. But it's not true. I can say about men, for example, that all of them are male. And all males are of the nature to produce sperm and impregnate females. Meanwhile, all women are female, and all females are of the nature to produce ova and bear offspring. Even the females who do not bear offspring are still of the nature to do so. It is natural for them to do so. They are the only ones who can do so. Disease or old age or genetic defect may prevent them from doing so, but that doesn't change their nature. And the same in the reverse is true for males. I can say that all human beings are of the nature to walk on two legs. It's natural for us to walk on two legs. A man who loses a leg in a car accident or who's born deformed still shares this nature. All humans are of the nature to be self-aware and sentient, conscious. This is one of the defining features of human beings. It is what makes us human. And that doesn't change just because some human beings are in a coma. Injury or sickness has deprived some humans of this natural function, but that doesn't mean that it's not a natural function. In fact, the man in a coma only confirms that human beings are conscious because we wouldn't be able to identify and label unconsciousness if we weren't conscious ourselves. The exception proves the rule. This is true of unconsciousness in human beings, just as it's true of infertility in women. In a similar way, if it wasn't natural for human beings to possess basic intelligence and reasoning skills, I would not be able to identify Geoffrey Marsh as being especially stupid. But human beings are supposed to have basic reasoning and intelligence, which is how I know that Geoffrey Marsh's bottomless stupidity is unusual and possibly an indication of some sort of brain disease or trauma, which is something that he should really probably look into, talk to his doctor about. But in the meantime...
Anyway, I agree with him about it being a problem, but it's not a mental problem as much as it is a spiritual problem. You see, these people, some of them have mental illness issues, that's for sure. I won't deny that at all. Some of them do have that, right? But it's worse. See, these people have the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. They are in direct rebellion to God. And if you're ever going to battle this issue and understand it and be able to help people with it, the one thing you have to have for your authority is the Word of God. And when I say the Word of God, I mean the King James Bible. While logic and reason is not wrong to use, and we do use it, at the end, and we do have evidence for it, at the end of the day, in the beginning, God made them male and female. There are no in-betweens. The male, the Bible says the male has the seed, and the female bears the children. Period. That's the only way it happens. There is no other way. Therefore, their sexuality is tied to their sex. and they are created after their kind. And they reproduce after their kind. The problem always goes back to Romans chapter 1. Either you believe the gospel, you believe God's word, or you believe the religion of the beast. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, the argument long ago in science, we can go all the way back to geocentricity, when men started denying the sun do move. When they denied that, they began to accept the reasoning of the world. Then evolution came around later, and evolution taught that man is constantly evolving. And now that argument seems to almost be out to lunch, because the real argument of it all now is, if man is evolving, then there isn't any such thing as male or female, but they are evolving into something else, to a unisex, to a survival of the fittest. Transgenders are there to replace women. Period. That's what they're doing. That's what they're there for. That is happening. And the answer is the scriptures. The answers are spiritual. The answers are God's people living within the roles of the sexes, teaching our children what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. And that's the only two that exist. Can you believe we're having this conversation? We're actually having a conversation. We're actually seeing the world deny male and female. That's what we're finding. And what this is Antichrist. It's Baphomet. It's androgyny. It's the unification of the sexes completely. It's the destruction of mankind. Its ideologies produce a sexual confusion. And the attack is on children. And the attack on the children is to confuse them so they have no understanding. So they have no understanding. They become extremely confused. And that's literally what the point is. That's Satan's point. It's the destruction of the sexes. And the answer is to follow the Bible. Follow the scriptures. Teach them what the Bible says, the absolute authority. Yes, we can teach them natural science. We could teach them naturally male and female. God's word is the authority, male and female. We teach them that. We show them that. We express that. We explain that. Right? We show them the gospel, that God can make you happy in your own body. You can repent and believe the gospel. Yes, you are wrong, and yes, God made you right. There's nothing wrong with you except you're a sinner, and you're guilty before God, and you are dead in trespasses and sins, and you must be born again. You must be saved by the grace of God. Have your sins forgiven. Come to Christ, and he'll make you new. He'll make you whole. You won't mutilate your body. See, that's what devils do. Let me show you. That's what possessed people do. Here it is. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, he hardly departeth. Oh, well, that's one of them. That's not the one I was looking for. Let's see if I can. Here it is. And when he has come to the other side of the country of the Gergesians, they met him too possessed. There met him too possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, that no man might pass by that way. Behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither?" Ah, that's the wrong one. Here it is. Here it is. And they came over into the other side of the sea, the country of the Gadarians. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of a tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Well, they're possessed. What are they doing? They're cutting themselves. You know, the girls that would cut themselves, cutting, you know, is a popular thing. Probably still is. Well, they're cutting themselves with stones. They're going to let somebody cut them up and cut their body parts off. Bunch of devils. The devil-possessed people. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." See, that's what it is devil possession. That's what they have, is devil possession. They need to be saved by the grace of God. The answer is spiritual, and they need their mind renewed. Believe what God says and what simple science tells them between male and female. There are no others. Now, this was a request here. So.
Oh, yes, I remember a poor deluded professor who used to sing me this song.
Billions and billions of years ago, a blob climbed out of the sea. He looked at the sky and yelled, "I'd like to fly," and poof, he sprouted some wings. He climbed up a tree to the very tip top. He jumped off a limb and he hit with a plop. He broke both his legs, so he started to hop.
Ribbit, ribbit.
Billions and billions of years ago. We know it's absurd and it doesn't make sense, but we can explain if you give us a chance. We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years. And billions of years ago, a frog went out for a stroll. The froggy went, "Brr, I could show you some fur," and poof, hair started to grow. It grew on his hands and his little webbed feet. It grew on his head and it really looked neat. He thought, "I'm a monkey, I'll swing from a tree." Billions and billions of years ago.
Sing it, class.
We know it's absurd and it doesn't make sense, but we can explain if you give us a chance. We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. We're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years.
Now, class, listen carefully. Oh, this is the best part. Oh, you're going to love this. Now, listen.
Billions and billions of years ago, a monkey sat on a rock.
Said with a wink,
genius, I think.
And poof, he started to talk.
Oh, yes, he did. The problems of math he could now understand.
He made a trombone and he started a band. He changed from a monkey right into a man. Millions and billions of years ago.
It doesn't make sense, but we can explain if you give us a chance. We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years. It sure seems to help to add billions of years.
Billions and billions of years ago.
Very good, lads, very good.
It is good, isn't it? Well, we see the craziness from evolution and from disobeying God's word and not believing it. And now what we're at now, and the Bible promised that in Romans chapter 1, that that's the way that it would go. We are out of time, though. We'll play this for you.
The order of the family.
There's only two reasons.
Did you know that Black Lives Matter was an organization that was founded by a bunch of fat black lesbians who hate God, who hate the family, order of the family, who hate the unborn child? And they admitted, at least one of them, that they are a Marxist group and they've been trained to do what they're doing. Did you know it was founded by some fat black lesbians?
Wow. So, okay. So, first of all,
did you know that?
What we're not going to do is insult folks, right? So,
well, they claim to be lesbians and they're fat and they're black. Well, I didn't do it.
Well, so.
But did you know that it was founded by them?
I personally know them, right? So we're going to stop that part.
And you knew that before they joined. What made you join knowing that? Because normally men don't follow women like that. What made you do it?
I like how he said that. Normally men don't follow that. Normally men don't follow women like that. What happened to you? True story. 80 people on. Wow, what a good day today. We actually had almost 100 people on here live earlier on in the broadcast. We've been averaging about 80 today. So good numbers there. Praise the Lord for that. And the Lord has definitely blessed us. Now, you pray for us tomorrow. Okay? Tomorrow, we are preaching outside of the Lumberjack Festival over in Stillwater. So we will be preaching outside of there. We will probably have a start time, I am guessing, around 3. That's my guess. All right? So right around 3, we'll be broadcasting live. On the street outside of the Lumberjack Festival. Supposed to be thousands upon, like 70,000 people there. Not 70, maybe 50. I don't know. I think it's a lot. But anyway, it's a lot of people. So we'll be preaching outside of there tomorrow. You pray for us. Pray for the Lord to give us safety and protection as we drive and everything that we do. Please make sure that you pray for us, okay? We appreciate that. And if you would like to give to our ministry, here's how you can do it. At the bottom of this page, there's an address here, 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. You can send us something there. You can mail something there if you'd like. Or you can PayPal us right here on our sermon audio page. As you can see, you click that PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. You can give that way, okay? Or you can do Venmo, Apple Pay, all kinds of good things like that, all kinds of different ways. Pray for Brother Ross and his men also. Yes, they'll be preaching tomorrow. While I'm sleeping, They'll be preaching because of the 7-hour time difference. And when I'm preaching, they're probably going to be almost sleeping. They'll probably be watching live, actually. But anyway, you pray for us. Pray for the Brother Ross and his men. Pray for our ministry. Pray the Lord bless us. Pray to keep us. And help us. And all that good stuff, okay? And we'll see you tomorrow live, Lord willing, around 3 p.m. Central, all right? So let me see here. I will get a song on here because it takes a little while for me to...
Have you heard about the three young men in Babylon of old? Who would not bow and worship to the statue made of gold? They went into the furnace, but they never did perspire. 'Cause Jesus went a-walking with them, walking through the fire. Oh, standing for the Savior, trusting in his might.